I want to draw your attention now to the Word of God in Genesis chapter 12. And I'm going to move along kind of quickly. I promised our sister from Ukraine that I would stick with my outline, but I may have to race through it. I told her that because I know she's translating for her husband, so I'm going to try to stick as close as I can here. But we're going to move along quickly for time's sake. I'm glad that you gave me till 3 o'clock, so I'm ready to go. I always appreciate a church that understands a missionary, and you know that we have long services in Guyana. We'll be in Genesis chapter 12 in just a moment, but I want to say that in 1890, while serving as the pastor of the Grace Methodist Episcopal Church in San Francisco, a man by the name of Charles Gabriel was asked to write a hymn to go along with the missionary offering for Easter Sunday. It is said that on March the 6th in 1890, the hymn, "Send the Light," was first sung with great enthusiasm. A visiting missionary loved the hymn so much that he carried it back east with him, and the song immediately became very popular. It's said that it's based upon Acts 16, where Paul received the Macedonian vision, and the first verse begins with these words: "There's a call comes ringing over the restless wave. Send the light. Send the light." And if you were to look in your hymn book, you'll notice that there is an exclamation mark after "send the light" because of the urgency. There are souls to rescue. There are souls to save. Send the light. Send the light. This is the battle cry that this songwriter gave to us more than 100 years ago, but the song still rings in our hearts today. There is a call. Now, I want to look from Genesis chapter 12 at this call. And I call it the call that was heard around the world. You've heard from the Revolutionary War, the shot heard around the world. But I'm going to speak today about the call heard around the world. Now, we're going to look at three questions. Number one, where does the call come from? Number two, what does God promise? And number three, what difference does it make? What difference does this call make? In Genesis chapter 12, we start in verse number 1. "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curses thee. And in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." Now I want you to see that from this we see where the call comes from. The Lord. And if you'll notice in your Bible, it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, which in your Bible refers to God and his proper name as Jehovah. Oftentimes in the Old Testament, God is referred to something that he does. Maybe God is our peace, or God is our provider, God is our protector. And all of those things are certainly true. But in this verse, God is introducing himself to Abram in his personal name. This name was so sacred to the people of Israel that at one time they would not even pronounce it out of reverence to his name. Now, I want you to notice that not only does it come from the Lord, but it comes from his word. It says, "The Lord had said." Now, what this does is it brings in the issue of authority. We're now talking about the word of God. We've already seen, if you study Genesis chapter 1, that when God's word is given forth, it has power. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And you could read on and on. You'll find from Genesis, from the very beginning, that God establishes that his word has authority. Now, I'm sure that your church shares with our ministry a belief that the Bible has all authority over matters of faith and practice. That is, everything that we believe and everything that we do should come from the word of God. One of the blessings of being a missionary is you realize right away that people don't come to your church already prepackaged. Many of our people come to us with really no foundation or no knowledge, and so when you teach them something, it has to come from the Word of God. And it's a great challenge to us as missionaries, but it reminds us of the authority of the Word of God. So the question is this morning, do we have the Bible as the authority in our life? Now, there's a lot of things that vie for that authority. For some people, it's their experiences. In other words, they say, well, I know what the Bible says, but I've experienced this. Or maybe it's culture. Sometimes our culture can determine the way that we live or the way that we dress or the things that we do. And sometimes culture becomes our authority. Or maybe it's our religious teaching, the way that we were brought up in church, some of the things that we were taught. And sometimes they become almost like codified as if they are the Word of God. Or maybe the authority in our life this morning is our comfort zone, that we'll only go so far as we're comfortable. I've heard people say, well, it must not be God's will. It's difficult. Can I tell you this morning that most of the things that we do in the will of God are going to be difficult? Have you ever jumped into a river and tried to swim upstream? As a Christian, this is what we're doing. There's a lot of things vying for the authority of the Word of God in our life, but we must establish first and foremost this morning as we talk about the call of God. And by the way, I don't think I mentioned this yet, but every person here, there's a call of God upon your life. I know that some of you probably, when you heard that I'm preaching on the call of God, you say, wow, okay, good, I can relax, because he's only talking to the pastors and the missionaries. The truth is this morning, each and every one of us, as Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 9, we are both saved and called. If you know today, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that you've been born again, if you would stand gladly this morning and say, I'm saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you should also equally and vigorously say, I've been called by Jesus Christ as well. We have a calling upon our life. So the next point is, what does God promise? So we look at this, and we see a number of things in the Word of God, I notice, and we'll move along kind of quickly, but first of all, I see guidance. He says in verse number one, he says, he's going to call Abram out of his country, his kindred, and his father's house unto a land I will show thee. So the first thing I want you to notice is this guidance that comes from God. You know, it was asked of me this morning during the Sunday school hour, of how God called me into missions. And I will tell you that I didn't have a perfect picture, you know, 25 years ago of where I am today. But what God did in my life was he called me to follow him. And by the way, he calls each and every one of us, he calls us to be fishers of men. He said, I will make you to become fishers of men. The point being is that the way that God guides is rarely will he show you what the end looks like. And sometimes, especially young people come to me and say, but Brother Greg, how can I know the call of God? And I say to you this way, God does it a step at a time. Take what you have today from the Lord. Take the light that God gives you today and take that step. Like his word says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. It makes me think about walking through the jungle at night with a lantern. When you have a lantern on a dark trail in the night, you don't see far out in the distance. You only see the circle of light around you. But as you take a step, the light will move with you. And this is the way it is with the call of God. I say to you today is take what God has given you today and take that step forward and do it again tomorrow and the next day and the next day, and you'll find that God will show you right where you need to be. The second thing I notice here is that there is blessing. He says, I'll bless you. And so as we step out into this call, we don't know where we're going, but as long as we're moving forward, we have the blessing of God upon our life. And who here today doesn't want God's favor? That's exactly what we receive as we step out. There are so many people that tell me, oh, I just don't know how you serve as a missionary. I don't know how you live in those difficult places. I'm probably more blessed than the average person. No, probably not economically or in comfort and things like that. But the truth is, you'll learn in life, and most of you already have, that the things of this world will never bring you pleasure. I mean, you could get a bigger house and a bigger house and a bigger house. Does it make you happier and happier and happier, does it? It doesn't. You can get a nicer car. You can spend twice as much for your car next time. It doesn't make you twice as happy. And you begin to realize in life, it doesn't take very long before you realize that what you really need is the blessing of God, not the blessing of materialism. Let your children go. I often say that the number one hindrance to young people going to the mission field is parents who say, I don't want my children doing that. I want my children to go to medical school. I want my children to do this or that. And all those things are good, but not if your children have a heart to go out and serve on the mission field. Let them go. I want my children to be blessed wherever they might go. If they came to me today and said, Dad, I want to be a missionary, I'd be glad for that, because I know that as they take steps forward for the Lord, that they will be blessed for that. The next thing I see that God provides, he says, I provide protection. He says, him who dishonors you, I'm going to curse him. In other words, those, I will bless them that bless you, and I'll curse him that curses you. I will protect you. I will stand by your side. And not just in Guyana, but I've been in some of the most remote places in the world, and I can tell you that I've never stood alone. I was telling my son even yesterday, I was talking with my youngest son yesterday, and I told him, I said, John, you know, I've been in some of those dangerous places in the whole world, but I've been with the protection of God. I know so many people are afraid to go here or to go there, and I want you to know that when you go in Jesus' name, you go with his protection. I also find that God promises success, and who doesn't want to be a success? Look at the last part of verse number 3, he says, in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. How many of you want your children to be successful? How about being involved in an enterprise that touches every people group of the world? Imagine that. I see God providing a promise of success. And by the way, let me give the end of the story. When I go to the book of Revelation, I see that God is gathering the nations of the world from every kindred and tribe and tongue, and God is gathering them together. So I know that missions will be a success. Now, the final question we want to look at is, what difference does it make? I mean, so that God has called us, but does it really make a difference? Well, let's start real quickly with Abram. In Abram's life, he grew up in Ur, a pagan place that knew nothing of the God of heaven, the God of creation. But somehow, when God spoke, his word has such power and authority that it penetrated the layers of darkness and paganism and reached to his heart, and something in the word of God was so compelling that Abram could not say no. Sometimes we get this rosy picture of Abram, thinking that he grew up in an independent fundamental Baptist church and he was taught from Sunday school age. No, Abram was taught paganism, but the word of God had such authority in his life and it penetrated the darkness of paganism. What difference did it make? Abram was to leave his country, his kindred, and his father's house. Now, if you know anything about Middle Eastern culture and particularly ancient Middle Eastern culture, this was everything. Now, here in America, we often see our children leave and go other places, and so this is not something strange. And sometimes I've heard preachers preach this like it's a modern day somebody leaving home and going to the mission field. No, this was significant. This was everything that Abram knew. This was his comfort zone. This was all that he knew. This was his present, and this was his future. This was his security. This was his economics. This was all that he knew. But God was saying to him, go, Abram. And he wasn't even promising him anything other than, I'm going to show you the way as you go. So what difference did it make for Abram? It totally changed his life. I could quickly go through the Bible. I'll just give you a few examples. You remember the story of David and Goliath? Sometimes we're taught like that story teaches us the whole point of that story is, you know, God will take down the giants. The truth is, David said that all the world may know that there's a God in Israel. But David said, before he went out into the battlefield with that giant, he said, is there not a cause? Now, I know that you read it back and you see it when David, you know he's going to win. Sometimes we think that David, there was no danger that day. But David full well expected to die that day. But he said, there's a cause. And sometimes there has to be a cause that is greater than even our own life and our own safety and our own well-being. There are places in the world today that yet to be reached with a gospel that'll take some risk to get there and to stay there. But is there not a cause? God turned his life upside down. Nehemiah, sitting comfortably in the palace, and yet after he heard from the report from Jerusalem, he said, "I was the king's cupbearer." I see that as a resignation letter. I see that as Nehemiah finally saying, "God, I am yours, and I will leave this palace, and I will leave my job and all that I have if it means that you're going to use me to minister to your people in Jerusalem." When the Lord asked Isaiah, "Who will go for us?" And you know, Isaiah answered, "Here am I, send me." And you know, lest you read the Bible and say, "Well, those are just great Bible characters." The truth is, God has called all of us to sacrifice. Not one of us has he said, "Well, no, I'll bypass you." No, each and every one of us he's called. He says this in his word. He said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You see, when you come to Jesus, it's not like just adding some insurance for your future. It's literally changing your life. Jesus said it this way in another place, "If a man doesn't forsake all that he has, he cannot be my disciple." Being a Christian is not the easiest thing in the world. It's costly. I think about some of the sacrifices that people have made over the years. Dr. Jerry Falwell said years ago, he said, "Nothing of spiritual significance comes without sacrifice." Your spirituality will always be measured by your sacrifice. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, the martyr of World War II in Nazi Germany, he said, when Christ calls a man, he bids him to come and die. Now you say, "Well, those are just kind of fanatical views." All right, let me read to you from another fanatic. His name was Jesus. And it says in John chapter 12, and I'll turn there. I want to read this scripture for you. In John chapter 12 and verses 24 and 25, he says this, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal." We're called to sacrifice. We're called to give up. I wonder how much your faith has cost you. It's a challenge that we must all ask. And it's not that you compare yourself with me or with Brother Turner or any of the other missionaries. But you must ask Jesus today, what is the level of sacrifice he's called you to? Be obedient to him, not to me or your pastor. Be obedient to Jesus today and answer that question. So as we wrap up this message today, let's look at these three questions again in a different light. Number one, will I submit to God's authority in his word? Will you be willing today to submit to the authority of the word of God in your life? Number two, will I trust God's promises to see me through? I know so many times I hear in mission conferences, "Oh, I'd love to do that, but I'm so afraid." Let me tell you something. I'm sure these other missionaries could tell you the same thing. There are times that we do things, we're afraid. When my children were very small and we moved along one of the remote rivers, and I remember when we first got there, there was a man who was not exactly a nice guy, and he started going around the village saying that he was going to burn my house down. He began to say that when I left to go to another village, that he was going to burn my house with my children, my wife, in that house. Now, you might think that I have a S on my chest and I fly around faster than a speeding bullet, but I'm a human. There's fear. And the fear of man, though, the Bible says, brings a snare. So will I trust God's promises? And then number three, will I make the sacrifices necessary to heed the call? Sometimes, and I want you to take this the right way, sometimes I feel almost a little bit embarrassed when people talk about us making a sacrifice. Because when I think of sacrifice, I think of the cross. I haven't even begun to sacrifice in light of what Jesus has done for me. You see, I didn't get saved until I was 19 years old. So I full well, as an adult, understood what Jesus had done for me. And even from the day I got saved, though I was far from understanding his call in my life on that time, I knew right away that my whole life was changed. I knew that there was a different life that I would be living. And so I don't see it as a sacrifice. Whatever we give to Christ is a wonderful gift. I wished I had more. I heard a missionary years ago write these words: if I had 10,000 lives, I'd give every one of them to China. That's the heart I want. If I had more than one life, I would be a missionary again. You give me another opportunity, I would still go the path I've gone. I could say this after 25 years of living, most of that time in a very remote and a hard place. People come visit us all the time. They remind us. They say, everything you do here is hard. I love being reminded of that. It's okay. But if you gave me the choice again, Greg, you could have any job in America. There was a time when I was pursuing a path to be a professional golfer. That was a long time ago. If you gave me a choice today, you could be as good as anybody on the golf course, or you can go back to the mission field. I'm going to go to the mission field. It's not a sacrifice. Gabriel's hymn concluded with these words: let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light. Send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light. Send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine forevermore. Church, send the light. And don't just say somebody else, but maybe today is the day that you say, I, here am I, Lord, send me. Regardless of how young you are, regardless of how old you are, just simply give your life today to say to God, I'm here, God, use me, send the light. Let's pray. Father, these words could be spoken better by somebody else, I'm sure. But please take what I've said, minister to the hearts of people here, especially if there's one here today without Christ. If there's somebody here today not ready to meet Jesus, I pray today would be the day of salvation. Lord, let this be the day that they could open their heart and receive you, receive the wonderful gift of eternal life. So, Father, today I pray, God, not only would you speak to those that need to be saved, but pray, God, speak to those that might need to surrender today. It might be somebody 80 years old. It might be somebody 8 years old. But let us not come with conditions. Let us simply surrender our life. In the name of Jesus, amen.